can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
Hello, this is Martha. Anthony, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Martha Stewart, I am not today. doing pretty good. It's been a busy Tuesday. It's the first of the month. It's the first of April, April Fool's Day, if you will. And it's always the busiest day for me at work because we have all of our like primary inventories run at the same time the first. So anyways, very busy day. Then I got home and walked the dogs and got done walking the dogs and went for a run. I had to go walk myself. My stupid mental health and physical health. So
God, anyways, God damn my health.
So, yeah, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. It's Tuesday. I'm a little tired today because I ended up going to the Oklahoma City Thunder game last night on kind of a little surprise scenario.
Ooh.
And that was nice. Took a gummy before I went, and that was a great experience.
Yeah.
Actually, so great that today I immediately scheduled an appointment to renew my card. Because I was like, ugh, I really appreciate that for big events. I don't think I ever experienced it that way, and I need to do it more because that was so much nicer.
It's so much less. I try to, like, really manage it if I'm going to do that because I can check out really hard if I take a gummy.
Yeah, that's what I was nervous about, so I was happy to have a good experience.
Yeah, so I always have to, like, take a smaller amount, like, really microdose it because I don't want to, like... You know, anyways. Well, that sounds fun. Glad you enjoyed yourself.
So. Yeah, I did that and then had several beers with my friend and then we left and then I came home and I'm a little tired today because I didn't sleep well last night based on, you know, the fact that I drank and had weed.
Yeah, well, I get that. I feel like getting back into the gym has helped me sleep and that's been really nice. So, like, you know, if it doesn't have any other benefits, I've been feeling like I'm sleeping better. But
that is true. The gym has drastically helped me to sleep better. Actually, I think I like that I did that better. Also, I should ask you, what are you making today?
Oh, I am making Spam Onigiri. And
spam
it
a
is
lot?
Basically. So, Spam Onigiri is a little snacky dish. So you're cutting up spam right now, actually. And have you ever had an onigiri before?
That I know of? No.
So, basically onigiri is, think of it sort of like a rice ball with stuff inside.
Okay. Oh, and wait a minute. I think I have.
You probably have. So anyways, I am dicing up Spam right now. I'm going to cook it up with a little bit of mirin and soy sauce and some sugar and some sesame oil. And I've got my rice going presently because I didn't want to make you guys watch me rinse rice. And yeah, so once that's all cooked up and the rice is done, I'll start molding them into little triangles and put a little seaweed on them and roll them in furikake, and Joe and I will have little snacks.
Sorry, I thought you said bukkake, and I was like, beg your pardon?
The same difference. What are you making, Jay?
I decided that I was going to make a apple tart.
Ooh. That sounds so fucking good, too. I don't understand how apple gets this rap of being, like, only a fall food. I understand that's when it's in season, but, like, oh my god, we live in the future. Apple is an everyday fruit.
Yeah, and I've been meaning to make this for a while, but I don't know. I just haven't yet. I was going to originally do it for a little company. It was actually for Pi Day at work.
Oh.
But I planned Pi Day, and then, like, the next day I put in my notice. Which Pi Day happened to be the last day.
That's funny.
And I was like, well, I don't want to make two pies for this. That's bullshit. So I'm like, I'll make one. And I ended up making my French silk pie.
Ooh. You make me that like turtle cheesecake thing you make. Oh my god. Whatever that happens to be. The one that's got, like, the chocolate and caramel all over it. The one that looks like I basically, like, it just looks so fucking good.
I love turtle cheesecake.
I jizz my pants every time I see it. Just absolutely, completely just fill them up.
Well, I laughed because I normally would make a pie crust, but I haven't in a while, and I know how finicky I can be making them.
Listen, that is the one thing that I've gotten to where I don't care if I just buy a store-bought one. Come on. This is a mental health podcast. Mental health pro tip. When you make something from scratch, you don't always have to do every bit of it from scratch.
Like, yeah. And today there are some great store-bought
pie crusts.
I was like, no, I'm not going to make that. And Pillsbury does just fine here.
Yeah. I had a coworker he's such a really great baker and cook, and he's always bringing these really, like, wonderful, like, vegetable dishes that he'd make at home to work and letting me try them, and always bringing us, like, baked goods and stuff. I would bring baked goods to certain occasions, and I loved making a pie. Love a pie. I love an apple pie. Just absolutely 100% comfort food for me. It's probably pretty standard, but I fucking love it. It's great.
Yeah.
And I just remember one time I did just a store-bought crust because, like, I was working 50, 60 hours a week every single week, and I didn't have time to do that.
Right.
And so anyways, he called me. He was like, you know, I gotta tell you, I always love your pie crusts. And in my head, I was like, outwardly I was like, thanks, but inwardly I was like,
I worked so hard for those.
Yeah, I had to go to the fucking refrigerated section, get myself the pie crust. So listeners, let that be a lesson to you. Don't push yourself too hard just to make everything from scratch. You know, people are just gonna appreciate the fact that you brought anything at all, and honestly, if they don't, fuck them.
Well, and I think in today's society, like, just making anything homemade in the first place is, you know, mm-hmm. a huge blessing. People don't do that anymore.
Nope.
And so, I feel like making a homemade crust when store-bought has just a great one is kind of a waste of your time unless you just really enjoy making it.
I mean, you know, what I will say is, like, maybe the exception to that is, like, a graham cracker crust because they're so simple.
Oh, well, yeah. That's not the same thing in my
opinion. Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, you just might actually have the stuff at home to make it already. But, like, a whole pie crust. Basically, that's it. Well, brown and sugar,
sorry.
I was going to say brown sugar if you're fancy.
Oh, sorry, I'm not fancy.
But yeah, I feel like so often I was trying to make things from, I tried for so long to do everything from scratch in such a way that like I was trying to make everything from scratch. What is it?
I get
Carl
it.
Sagan once said that if you want to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first create the universe. And that was kind of what I was trying to do.
So, when you were growing up, did your mom make a lot homemade at all?
Nope.
Okay, so mine did. And my mom used to be so critical of people. She'd be like, ugh, everyone does everything store-bought. You have to do it homemade. And so, for a long time, to feel like I could be reputable, that's what I thought I had to do. And then I just realized, I was like, oh, she's a stay-at-home mom and a judgy bitch. So,
And a judgy bitch.
I don't have time for that, and other people don't have time for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, see, that's the I don't know what it was in my head. I think it's because I get so hyper fixated on
I can relate to that.
doing things the quote unquote right way. And it really bled over into cooking, especially once I got really good at cooking.
Well, and then like you kind of take pride in it when you do good stuff and people compliment you, so then you like kind of feel an obligation to keep doing it.
Yeah, in a way, I'll never forget. I had a friend who came over for his birthday once, and I will cook people birthday meals
Oh yeah.
if they come over. And so he requested gumbo, and I have made gumbo before, but it'd been a long time. And we were going to be like, I think like six or seven of us, and so I used a little bit bigger pot. Basically, what happened is I didn't use my Dutch oven, which is what I should have done,
Right.
and I burnt the roux. And if you guys aren't familiar with gumbo or the process of making a roux or how that works, basically it means that everything else is going to taste like burnt.
Fact.
And it wasn't like bad burnt, but it was just one of those things where everybody had come over and I had been working on the roux for so long and trying to get it to brown. And it really just came down to the fact that I should have used like a thicker bottomed, thicker bottom.
I love how I was doing the exact same thing.
a thicker bottom dish. But it's just, it was one of those things where, like, God, I didn't beat myself up over it necessarily, but I was really kind of upset. And I think.
Oh, 100% will beat myself up over if I fuck a meal up for somebody else for sure.
Yeah. And so, oh my God, recently we had friends over for Joe's birthday and our friend Kaylin's birthday. And Joe's birthday is March 9th, and hers is like the day after. So
Shared.
it's, well, yeah. So we do shared birthday usually. We do something together, typically. And I was like, hey, why don't I break out the pizza cooker, the fire pizza oven, and we can do pizzas, little personal pizzas, and I'll make toppings and everybody can just like put their stuff together. I made this new pizza dough recipe that I hadn't tried before, which is always a mistake when you're doing it for people.
Yeah, but sometimes it works out really well.
I know sometimes it does, and I like the way, like, I was watching it and I was like, damn, this dough is rising and it is getting nice and like fluffy, and I'm so really excited about it. This dough was fucking, it was good dough. Don't misunderstand, but it was not pizza oven good dough. It was like put your pizza in a regular oven and cook it slow. Par bake this crust, then put your toppings on it, then put it back in the oven and a regular oven, not a pizza like fire oven, which is what I was using. And so like the pizzas kept coming out not great. And I gotta tell you, Jay, I don't know what kind of day I was having that day. I was on the verge of a breakdown. I was nearly in tears about this stupid pizza.
It's because we put too much stress on ourselves, I think, when we cook for others, because we are perfectionists.
Yeah.
Because
It's
I
so
will,
wild to me.
nothing I make is good enough. I will always criticize it. And then if anything goes remotely wrong, it eats away at me because I'm just like, you should have known better. You could have done better.
Well, and so that's what got me is like I think I was already having a bad day. In my head, I was feeling like I've been noticing that people, like a certain handful of people at work, are like have acted differently towards me recently. And in my mind, I'm like, are they not talking to me because I'm gay and I'm like negative social capital for this blue collar work environment? Like, and I didn't think that would bother me, but I guess it does.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's necessarily true. So that's the other thing about this is I could be creating narratives that are not real. Which is, I mean, it's a possibility. You know, when you have anxiety, you tend to jump to a lot of conclusions. You go from A to Z real fast.
Real fast.
And yeah, so I don't know. I think that was getting to me, and I was just having like a couple of really bad days. And it was the day that also they had our employee appreciation lunch. And the staff downstairs did not tell any of us that the pizza got there, and all of the staff downstairs ate all of the pizza.
That sounds right.
And it was such a fucking shitty thing to do. And the way that they, when we went down there to ask about it, they're like, oh, yep, it's out. And I was like, okay, you could have been a little more like, oh shit, I'm sorry, or anything like that. But nope, yeah, we just were fucking dicks.
And that just bites your ass so hard when you're just like, listen, I thought we were great, and then you did what?
Well, I think that's what really bothered me is I'm just like, I don't know. It was a combination of things combined with the air of rising fascism that I sort of feel like I deal with every day at this point.
Also, I'm sorry, you're listening to me with a mandolin slicer.
That's okay. I mean, we're cooking, so you're gonna hear cooking sounds. It is what it is. If you were hearing bubbling noises a minute ago, that's my rice cooker going to
Yeah, I
town.
heard it.
Yep. And now you probably hear sizzling noises, and that's me cooking the spam.
I got this mandolin slicer that's supposed to be safer because I know how clumsy I am.
Girl, I feel that. That's a. The mandolin will take your fingertips and not apologize.
Mandolin slicer has no mercy.
Not at all. I see people doing like a mandolin slicer with their fingertips extended and like doing this, and I stress the fuck out. It's like
It
palm of
yeah, it's
if you don't have a tool, palm of your hand, fingers up.
it stresses me a lot.
Yeah. Oh God, it got home. Party stamp spells when you're cooking it. We did a pantry purge yesterday, and so with spring, you know, us doing a little bit of spring cleaning, we're trying to like purge the kitchen of things. So like, we went through the appliance cabinet that's sitting right below me right now and got rid of a ton of stuff. And so now I've got a lot of counter space because I took some of the appliances that don't always get used and moved them down there. Anyways, all that is to say, we did a pantry purge. I found this can of spam and I was like, hey, I know what I can do with you.
I love a good kitchen purge, but my problem is I'm real bad about purging stuff because I'm like, but I could use that.
So I am one of those people who is, I will think that way, but then I'm also in my head like, okay, hang on. You're lying to yourself presently. And so let's tell ourselves the truth and what is
I need to
really
get
going
that
to
voice in
happen
my
with
head.
this. So I've gotten a lot better about purging things whenever I need to. And I feel bad because, like, Joe likes to hold on to certain things a little bit more than I do. So I want him to be present if I'm purging stuff because I don't want to, like, overstep and get rid of something that later on I find out that he wanted to keep for any
Right.
reason whatsoever. Because I'm not hugely sentimental when it comes to a lot of stuff, so I'm just like, yeah, I'll fucking get rid of that in a heartbeat.
See, and what's funny is I'm not sentimental. I think this is because we grew up poor,
Yes.
and
Yeah,
I
I
always
get
think
that.
that I can't let go of this because I may need it.
That
But
is, yeah, I get that.
I'm also not a hoarder. Like you've seen my places.
Yeah, your place is clean. I get it. I think you're exactly right, because it is one of those things where I keep things that I think can come in handy down the road and not. So, yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like, odds are if I'm hanging on to it for any reason, it's because I think I'm going to use it later.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, there's going to be a reason I'm going to need this and I can't let go of it. And
yeah.
I've gotten good about a few things, being like, okay, I don't need this, but not perfect there.
Well, and I think it comes with the territory of growing up poor, because you come from a place of like want, and so you hang on to everything. Your family hangs on to everything.
Right.
Like hand-me-down stuff, because that's what you get.
Yeah, that's what we're used to.
Yeah, like our dining table growing up was our grandparents' old dining table that they got rid of because they finally got a new dining table.
Right.
That's how shit worked.
Oh, yeah, we just didn't get new stuff. That's just not how that worked.
Yeah, you don't get new stuff. That's crazy. If you have to buy something, you're going to get it at a second-hand store.
Or a ninth-hand store.
Well, our second hand, and I use massive air quotes to signify that, was a place called Ruby's down on Main Street in Glencoe, Oklahoma. Population
Ruby's.
500. Yep, named for the owner. Guess what her name was?
I'm going to guess Charlotte. No, I'm kidding.
But anyway, she would take like donations and stuff from people in town for just things they're getting rid of, and then just resell them for a little bit. And it was sort of like her way to redistribute stuff back through town and also keep a living in her retirement.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I had a flashback because it reminds me of where I grew up. We had a lady that kind of did the same thing, and it was her way of living, but she did a restaurant, and it was really, really famous for its pies. And it was also a bait shop, and so it was called, because it was close to the lake, and so she called it Little Hookers.
I love stuff like that, because you can never tell if they know what they're talking about or if they're doing that very unironically.
Yeah. So hers was, it was cute. She made pretty good food too.
So it's funny, because Ruby's husband, Floyd, also had his own little store on Main Street. But his store only did things that were like power tools and like used tools and man stuff. And his was called Floyd's. And so like,
that sounds right.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God. Masculinity is so fragile. But yeah, that's like, you always had to do secondhand stuff. But I am getting better about getting rid of certain things. Although now, because when I record this, I'm in my Tupperware cabinet, which is where the camera lives.
Right.
because it's the only place that gets like a good angle from right here. And I see this old Tupperware that's just like mismatched. And I'm like, that is a growing up poor thing that I've got to break the habit of at some point.
It is funny how Tupperware, I finally over the years have been like, nah, we're not going to hold on to it if it's mismatching stuff. So I actually check that stuff pretty regularly now.
That is one of my very ingrained poor habits. Because Tupperware is good. You use Tupperware for anything. You use Tupperware till it falls apart.
So it's funny, I'll keep like one or two of a base of a Tupperware, so that way I can use it for like random shit.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, oh, I need something to carry, I don't know, pick up dirty water or something like that.
Oh, that smells really good. Yeah. I love the smell of soy sauce, which I guess is just the smell of salt.
That's what it is.
It's like sweet and salty, and it's really, and it's got that toastiness from the sesame.
Oof! Yeah, that's right.
I have to start a cooking show.
Kind of like on South Park. Oh, are you pan searing that chicken?
Oh yeah! Fuck yeah!
Oh yeah! Fuck yeah! I am pan searing
that chicken. Yeah. Oh yeah! You make a creme fraiche? Yeah, I make a creme fraiche.
God. That's one of my favorite episodes. I don't know why. Well, there's so many I say that too.
Yeah, I do love that one though. It is really funny. But yeah, I feel like I am getting better about the not hoarding a bunch of stuff. It just has taken me a lot of time.
It does. I've gotten better about letting go of things, and now my worst part is I feel like I actually waste things randomly. Because I'm just like, oh, you're not going to need this, or I don't know. I feel like I've gotten a little bit worse about wasting random things for no reason, because I don't know, I'm in a different financial spot, and so I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, I get that.
And then I'm like kind of ashamed of myself.
No, I mean, it makes sense, because I kind of like had I was in a weird place after I left Verizon, where I was like, do I need to like keep a lot more stuff because I'm not going to have as much money? And I don't know. I think I'm at a point now where I'm just like, you know what? I can kind of deal without certain things.
I can relate to that. Oh, hey. Oh, sorry.
Plus, there's a lot of joy in getting rid of stuff out of your house.
Oh, my gosh. Why do you think I got rid of so much?
Ah, it's so nice. Like, getting rid of things. Ugh, things stress you out. And I never realized how much they stress you out, but things will stress you out.
Yeah, like, listing my house, because it's still fucking for sale. But listing my house and just, like, getting rid of all my normal furniture and keeping the bare minimums and just kind of moving into this temporary life was wildly relieving.
Yeah, it's nice to get rid of things. We cleaned this cabinet out, and I was just so it just felt good. Like, the aura of the house felt better. Also, since your house is still for sale, might as well plug it here. Listeners, if you're looking for a very nice home in Yukon, Oklahoma...
It's for sale.
But yeah, it's purging. Your house is like, your living space is deeply connected to your well-being.
Yeah.
I say that as somebody who is not very good at keeping up their living space, but I am aware of this. So I am getting better in my older years at doing it, because, you know, I just never was really good at it whenever I was growing up. And part of that is because, you know, I had to clean up my room when I was growing up, but I didn't have to like do a lot of other housework. I did a little
same
bit. But my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and so she did a lot of like the major housework stuff. And so I was never used to it, like laundry. I never had to do laundry. And I never so had now to, I'm but... like a huge proponent of men making sure like that stuff that men should do growing up.
Which is funny, because I didn't do any of it either. I mean, I knew how, but I didn't, mama always did it.
And it's funny, because it's also one of those things that I'm realizing as I'm getting later on, because, you know, Joe will ask me, like, well, what do we need to do with this? I'm like, I don't fucking know, but I will figure it out. I will. We got Google.
I don't really know quite where I got handy, because I feel like I didn't do near as much as I should have.
I think that is also something that happens when you grow up poor, is your initial default is that you want to try to fix it yourself.
Oh, that's me still.
I try that. Like, whenever my water heater went out and you were like, well, why don't you use the Google, you know, replacement on it and see how difficult it is. And it wasn't hard at all, except for the whole part about lifting up the fucking water heater.
Yeah, I was like, that's the worst part, is it's just heavy.
Yeah, it just was heavy. But, you know, I got there eventually.
Yeah, it just takes a bit of work.
It's just a little heavy. But I think that's, you know, again, it is weird how I find myself coming into like this stage of my life and a lot of my younger years still being so relevant to how I operate and function as an adult.
Yeah.
And I'm learning a lot of those bad habits, which is I won't say bad habits, unlearning unnecessary habits.
Yeah, I can understand that. Okay, let's see if I can squeeze this in and chill it really fast.
We're just going to throw this in the blast chiller?
Pretty much. Watch me pull it out and be like, oh, I fucking ruined everything. My freezer melted.
That would be funny. Only a little funny.
No, it's not mine.
Well, exactly. That's why it would be funny. Yeah, I don't know. I'm talking about being poor while I'm making spam, so there is that.
Oh my gosh, I don't remember the last time I've had spam. Might have been as a kid.
You know, it's funny, we didn't have it growing up. Like, we never ate it. We always ate, like chicken and ground beef were the two primary, like, meats in our house.
Ground beef was definitely our dominant meat, and that was solely because we would buy a cow.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was part of it, because we had closer access to cheaper beef. But, like, it was that and chicken breasts were the two main things that we had for proteins.
We also did cheap pork chops.
Mm. Pork chop. I love a pork chop.
I didn't as a kid. As a grown up, I do. We did chicken. Like, mom made fried chicken and all. We never did healthy grilled chicken or anything like that. Yeah. Mom was actually pissed off because when I was like 8 or 10 or so, we went to the doctor and he was like, his blood's really thick. and he was like, do you eat a lot of red meat? And she goes, well, yeah. And he goes, okay, so you're going to have to cut him off that.
And I bet she loved that.
Oh, man, I pissed her off so much because, like, that was our groceries, was just red meat.
So, did she do it, or did you just get it? Damn, I guess we'll find out.
That's what
I was saying. I guess we'll find out next week if she did.
Find out on next week episode what happens. Did I survive my thick blood or not? Alexa, stop.
And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time.